It's here and now. And tonight on the PBS documentary series POV, Point of View, a new film premieres about race, politics, and post-Katrina New Orleans. It's called Getting Back to Abnormal, and it centers on a contentious 2010 race for city council between an African-American preacher and the polarizing white incumbent, Stacey Head, for a seat that was long held by a black representative.
We felt for so long that we needed to be led by a certain skin tone. Just be honest with you. We got to get past that.
That is Barbara Layson Keller. She's Stacey Head's campaign aide and one of the central figures in the documentary. She joins us now from the studios of WWNO in New Orleans. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Paul Steckler, one of the filmmakers. He's at KUT in Austin, Texas. Paul, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Paul, what changed racially in New Orleans post-Katrina?
Well, it's, you know, the city is less African-American. The majority of the people that couldn't move back, the fourth of the city that couldn't move back, were black New Orleanians. And so it's less of an African-American city, though it's still, you know, 60% plus African-American. And, you know, there are more Hispanics, there are more, you know, young idealistic kids that have come down. So the city is somewhat different, though it's still, you know, mostly a black city, and it's still, you know, mostly dominated by African-American politicians. But, you know, it's changed to a certain extent. And I think actually the race that you see in this film of Stacey's reelection and subsequent victories is part of that transition in the politics of New Orleans.
Well, Barbara, let me bring you in. As you look at this and you look at the role that race played in this election that you played a part of as a staff member for Stacey Head running for the city council there, how much has the racial picture in New Orleans changed post-Katrina?
Well, I find it to have changed for the better because what's happening now, people are beginning to see that it's not so much by the race, but it's about who's going to get the job done, who's going to deliver, who's going to work to make sure that the people have a better life. Because there was a lot of work to be done, and we needed to look at just who's going to help us get that work done. And I think color had gotten to the point that it wasn't so much a factor. We're looking for the person that's going to help us get the job done.
But still a lot of racial tension that you see in the film. A lot of people wondering why you would even work for Stacey Head.
Yeah, well, because what happened is that when Stacey first came to the city council, she had never been in politics before. And I think a lot of people perceived her, one, as being a white person, two, as being a racist because she had some problems with her delivery. And
problems with her delivery, by the way. When you say that, you mean that she sometimes, you even say in the film, you wish she would be a little more calmer, I think is your exact words.
Yes, if she could just tone it down just a little bit, you know, and that was a key factor. And I have a reputation. I've been involved in community involvement and an activist for almost 50 years. So a lot of folks had problems with me. They thought I was a sellout, you know, but I was not, because I saw in Stacey what other people could not see, and I felt that I needed to support her and work with her and also try to not convince but show the people to give her an opportunity, because I thought she would make a difference for us.
Well, and you see her struggle in this film with trying to get her message across without offending people. She says herself that she wishes she could think a bit more before she speaks, but she does reject the characterization that she's a racist. Let's listen.
There's a small group of people that attack me largely about race issues. And it's really awkward to have to defend yourself as not a racist, because then you start saying things that are repugnant. I mean, to say, oh, well, I'm such a, you know, wonderful person. My tenant is black and she lives in my house. Well, that sounds so gross, but it's the truth.
Paul, why did you decide to focus on this race with Stacey Head?
Well, I think that we were looking for stories that were metaphors for the way New Orleans was recreating itself or trying to bring itself back up on its feet after Katrina. And you're always looking for good characters as well. So the film is not so much a film about politics. It's using this particular election campaign for city council, you know, as a metaphor for what was going on in the city. And we picked this race partially because Stacey and Barbara are just fabulous characters. And having the two of them together and their relationship is so interesting and so strong. They're just great on camera. And this is, you know, films need good stories and need good characters. And especially if you get those characters and stories that really indicate what's going on in New Orleans, then you've got documentary gold.
Well, Barbara, you really took offense when people would put up those posters in the film that said, no racism, no head. But yes. You must know a lot of people there who do believe that Stacey Head, this white city councilwoman who's trying to give people some straight talk about certain things, or as she would see it, straight talk, that they think she is racist.
Yes, and even till now, I still get that. But, you know, we got to get past the fact that because we have a different color, that if a person says something that you disagree with, that makes them a racist. We got to get past that, you know. And she may be misunderstood, but a racist she's not. Not at all.
This film is also about post-Katrina in New Orleans. The storm itself isn't really a central focus, but it does underlie all the changes that are happening in the city racially, politically, and otherwise. I want to listen to a clip here of a real estate guy, Press Kabakoff, who says all that change is an opportunity.
This may sound dismaying or callous, and I don't mean it that way. We were overwhelmed in poverty before the storm. The storm, we lost a lot of our poor. They found either a better place to live, they didn't have the finances to return, and so we don't quite have the drag that we had with the number of poor that we had in the city. So we have a great opportunity to deconcentrate the poor, which is, I think, the right thing to do in the city of New Orleans.
Barbara, do you agree with that, or how do you feel about the way that New Orleans is now versus the way it was pre-Katrina?
Well, what I see a lot of changes. I see a lot of changes for the better. That's just like with the demolition of the concrete reservation housing projects. That doesn't exist anymore. And what has happened is that it has allowed people to live a better life, to be a part of a community other than just being a part of a complex. But we still have a lot of work to do with economic development, with crime, and with education. So some things are for the better, and some things I wish it would have stayed the way it was.
You know, Press Kabakoff, it's taken at its face value. It sounds like a terrible statement, but at the same time, you know, the storm was and still is an opportunity, you know, to remake certain things, but at the same time understand that New Orleans is very unique and New Orleans will always be unique.
Well, and I want to get to that finally, because that is one thing that you absolutely cannot miss when watching this film, which is the uniqueness of New Orleans and that it's so, such a different place that even when faced with real problems, people seem to have a sense of humor. They've got a smile on their face. They want to dance around and have fun or at least take things with a grain of salt. Barbara, what is it about New Orleans that's so different than anywhere else in the rest of the country?
I think the uniqueness of New Orleans is that when you love it, it loves you back. You know, the love just bubbles from the street, you know. They call it the Big Easy, not because we don't care, because we try to make the living as easy as it could be. And that's the uniqueness of New Orleans.
Barbara Layson Keller in New Orleans, and we've also been speaking with Paul Steckler, one of the filmmakers on the PBS documentary POV. It's called Getting Back to Abnormal, and it premieres tonight on PBS. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, Magna, there is a train that takes you from Chicago down to New Orleans. It goes right through Champaign-Urbana, where I am today. So sometimes when you get on the train from Champaign up to Chicago, all the conductors have these thick New Orleans accents, which is always kind of funny. We want to say special thanks to our friends here at the station where I am, WILL in Urbana, especially Mike Pritchard, Jim Meadows, and Sean Powers. And thanks to Alex Ashlock. Here and Now's Alex Ashlock in Boston, who also spent some of his years here at WILL. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now.